Welcome to Near Death Dolls. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Paige.
And we're your hosties with the mosties.
While talking about ghosties.
And other horny shit.
Oh, shit. Me so horny.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, but anyway, thank you for joining us. We're coming in hot with some urban legends.
But first, we'd like to take a moment to thank our newest Patreons who all subscribed at the zombie tier.
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah. Thanks, guys.
I would like to say a special thank you to Matt Robin, who is at man_made_monster with a zero. Matt Robin, you had to make it difficult. No, I'm just kidding. Matt Robin is an awesome fan and friend of the show. They are recently, I think, binging all the episodes and have been really active on Instagram and Twitter, and we really appreciate it. It's so much fun discussing all these different episodes with you. It's a lot of fun.
Super fun. Thanks, Matt Robin. Our next Patreon that we'd like to give a shout out to is Michael. Heck yeah, Michael. And you can find Michael at the Stuffy Joseph, which is a really good name. I think it is anyway. It sounds cool. I'm not sure what it is, but it's awesome. So that's where you can find Michael. You got to go check out his Instagram. Actually, he's got some really beautiful shots of when he's cycling, taking shots of himself. And he works at his family's vineyard right up our alley.
Woo woo.
Thanks for listening while you murk, Michael. Cheers to that.
Cheers. Clink.
Tasty.
How about we get into our urban legends?
I'm ready.
That's what you're here for, right?
I think so. That and the good company.
That too. So let me tell you, my urban legend is based out of Arkansas.
I have never been, I don't think.
Maybe driven through to get somewhere, but I don't remember. I'm so sorry. I was probably asleep on during that state. We were just passing through. So, as you know, I like to start with them fun facts.
I'm ready. I want to hear more about Arkansas.
Okay, so some cool stuff about Arkansas. There's a phenomenon called the Dover Lights, an unexplained illumination that is seen from an overlook near a valley in the Ozark Mountains, allegedly visible from a neighboring overlook.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, and it's said to light the way for spirits of Spanish soldiers who died looking for treasure. Ooh.
That's what I want to see. Pirates! I'm just kidding.
So yeah, there's the Dover Lights. So that sounds cool. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, super cool.
Okay, so every year, the World Cheese Dip Championships take place in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Cheese dips.
cheese dip was invented there in 1935 at a restaurant called Little Mexico.
No way. They invented cheese dips? That's cool. Dips.
Yeah, so I'm down with the cheese dip.
That's a good claim to fame.
I think so. Okay, so it's technically illegal to mispronounce the state's name. You can't say Arkansas. And I thought this was weird, and I looked into it a little deeper, and technically, you can't mispronounce it during official or legal proceedings.
Oh, I see. So it's the lawyers who's got to watch their mouths.
Pretty much, or anything that's in an official capacity. Anything in an official capacity. There you go. You can't, it's not technically allowed to mispronounce it and say it Arkansas or however else you want to say it. You have to say Arkansas.
I wonder how many times somebody said it wrong before it was like, that's it, we are making a law.
This is how a law is made.
Really?
I don't know. I didn't watch that Schoolhouse Rock.
I know, right? That would have been funny, though.
Absolutely. And my last fun fact, there's a law that says alligators may not be kept in bathtubs.
That's just for everybody's safety.
I feel like that should be a law everywhere. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. You don't want to mess with those. Come on. They're big. They're scary. They eat people.
All right. So those were my fun facts about Arkansas. And let me tell you the urban legend, and it's actually a haunting.
Ooh, chills up my spine. Chilly spine, as Lisa says.
Mm-hmm. I do say that from time to time about the chilly spine.
The chilly spine.
All right. So I'm talking about the Allen House.
I haven't heard of this place. It sounds cool.
I have not heard of it either until I was doing my research. And just warning you, my voice might go. I feel it going a little, so. Okay, so the Allen House of Monticello, Arkansas, is considered one of the most haunted houses in America, aren't they all?
Yeah, they all say that, don't they?
Yeah, they kind of do. But I chose this because its backstory really seems to bolster the rumors of paranormal activity. And by the way, it's called a house when it's really considered a mansion in its time.
Ooh.
When I was researching, the person said it has a Queen Anne Victorian style architecture and has those really tall, like, pillar columns in front of the house.
That sounds really cool.
It's a very beautiful mansion house. And like when I was researching it and reading like the little backstory and everything, it reminded me of a house in Galveston, Texas, which I know Paige and I have gone a few times, and there's several mansions there. Yeah. That were built like in the 1900s, like early 1900s, and they're gorgeous.
They are. Yeah, you could take tours of those houses. Did we ever take a tour?
I don't think we took one together. I've been to all, there was like three or four, and I went to three of them.
That's cool. That's cool.
When I was a kid. Yeah, no, they're beautiful. But anyways, so I got those kind of vibes, and it kind of made me feel the same about this, because you can actually tour this house as well.
And what city is that in?
I think it's pronounced Monticello.
Monticello, okay.
Okay, so the Allen House was built in 1905 by Joe Lee Allen. Mr. Allen had a wife, Katie. I'm thinking that's how you say her name, because it's spelled C-A-D-D-Y-E. I think it's Katie.
Yeah, I would assume so. Cadier. I don't know.
I don't know if they're French, but yeah. So Katie, and they had three children, Liddell, Lonnie Lee, and Lewis.
All L names. I like it.
That's what I'm naming my kids.
Lisa, Lisa Jr., Lisa Jr. Jr. No, just kidding.
I'm sure my husband would love that.
Lisa, and everybody turns around.
Right. Okay, so from one story I read, a young man named Prentice Savage was also living in the house with the family, though I'm not sure in what capacity. But as it happens, Prentice and Liddell in their youth had fallen in love.
Aw, how sweet.
Isn't it? But Prentice eventually moves away to take a job in Texas, and Liddell is brokenhearted.
Oh, poor Liddell. There's other fish in the sea.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Over time, she meets another man, marries, and has a son with him.
Okay, she moved on.
But I guess things weren't that great with her husband, because they eventually divorced.
Aw, that sucks. I'm sorry, Liddell.
That's okay. It's okay, Liddell. Many years later, she and Prentice reconnect and begin having an affair because Prentice is married.
Hubba hubba.
They carried on their affair for years, and all the while, Prentice promising Liddell he would get a divorce from his wife. But as the years went on, Prentice claimed it was proving to be nearly impossible to get a divorce because money was tied up jointly between him and his wife, and he couldn't really figure out a way to separate it and actually keep the money.
Sure. Well, I mean, I'm sure that actually could be true, but that's just an excuse.
I mean, yeah, if you wanted Liddell bad enough, you could have divorced your wife and been like, I will face ruin as long as I have your love, Liddell.
Right, yeah, that's the truth. That would be the truth in that case, yes.
So Liddell, feeling very sad and melancholy, began drinking heavily.
She's got kids, right?
I think she has a son, but I think at this point the son's already a little older.
Okay.
I'm not sure how much older, but old enough. He's fine. It's not like he's a kid, like kid.
Yeah. She's got empty nester syndrome, maybe.
Maybe. On December 25th, 1948, Christmas Day, Liddell commits suicide by ingesting mercury cyanide and dies about a week later in the hospital.
Oh my god, mercury cyanide. She goes all in.
She took it pretty hard, apparently, as their affair began to fizzle out.
Yeah, I'm sure. She's been in love with him since they were kids, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So Liddell's mother was so upset by her daughter's passing, she sealed Liddell's room, and it wasn't opened until after all the members of the Allen family had passed away.
Oh my god. So she's just, there's this body in there.
No, they took the body out. She died in the hospital. She didn't entomb her in her room. This isn't an Edgar Allan Poe story.
I've been reading too much folklore.
I mean, I would love it if she was still in the room. But no, she died in the hospital. She was buried. She's not in the house anymore. But they sealed up her room.
Okay, that makes more sense. I was like, damn,
too funny.
I'm making horror stories in my head over here.
You really are. You're taking this to a whole nother level.
Whew, my bad.
It's okay. Okay. So, God, you gave me some giggles. So the house was sectioned off into apartments and rented out. Years later, new owners of the house actually purchased the house and found something around 80 letters of Liddell's hidden in the attic.
Oh my God.
So most of them were from her lover, Prentice. The new owner, Mark Spencer, said he had his first encounter with the ghost of Liddell the day he discovered those letters.
Ooh, appropriate. She's like, hey, I don't know if you should be reading those. But it's kind of private.
So he, yeah, could you imagine? Those are my personal things. Get out of my room. He said he was in the attic reading these letters, kind of piecing together what happened. And he said out loud, I guess just to the energy in the room, not even knowing there was a ghost there, he just goes, Liddell, I'm so sorry. Like, I feel so bad after reading these things. And he said he looked up and saw the apparition of a woman from about the 1920s walking towards him. He said he closed his eyes, rubbed them, and when he opened them, the spirit was gone.
Oh my God! See, she was gonna go snatch those letters out of his hand, and then she's mm-hmm. like, you know what? Never mind. It's okay. Somebody needs to hear the story.
Another encounter he had, now this one kind of got me. So he said he was in the master bedroom, or he was walking towards the master bedroom. He said he thought he saw his wife in the bedroom, standing in front of a window, but the drapes were closed, so she would just be in there staring at drapes, not out the window. He was wondering what she was doing, and he said something to the effect, like, hey, what are you doing, hon? And that's when he realized it wasn't his wife. And as soon as he realized it, she vanished.
Maybe she's looking for her lost love.
Maybe she should open the drapes. It might help. She's
like, I don't have hands here, people. Can you leave the drapes working. Open?
When the house was apartments, the tenants of the house began hearing disembodied footsteps roaming the hallways late at night. They would sometimes see an apparition of a woman looking out of Liddell's room. And there's a pretty cool picture. I will put it on our Instagram, but you can see an outline and a face looking out the window.
Damn, okay. I want to see.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'll make sure I put it up. There's also ghost children that wander the house. Investigators have picked up EVPs, and even the owner's wife has seen the ghost children, and she said she was paralyzed with fear upon seeing it.
They're aliens.
No, they're not aliens, they're ghosts!
I heard the paralyzed, and I was like, ah, aliens! Sorry.
With fear, not with probes.
Good. Good.
But if you're ever in the area, you can tour the house if you make an appointment, or you can go see it during October when they host a haunted house attraction.
Oh, that would be awesome. Do they have, like, people dressed up and, like, you know, jumping out from behind couches at you?
Maybe. They made it seem like it was a haunted house attraction kind of thing, where something like that, but I'm not 100% sure. It could just be, like, a tour done by That's flashlight true. Or something.
They're like, this is actually a haunted house, so we didn't have to dress it up.
Yeah. And I have a feeling it's probably on like a Ghost Adventures or something like that. I feel like when I was looking for videos and stuff, I think I came across a couple of those. They're just so sensationalized that I don't usually enjoy watching like Ghost Hunters or that yeah, kind of stuff.
It's been a long time since then I've been able to sit down and watch one of those.
Yeah. Unless it's, like, at a really good location, but...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. If it's a place I've already been and I'm just kind of mm-hmm. curious to see it again, something like that, for sure.
But anyways, that's my urban legend, is the Allen House in Arkansas, haunted.
So cool. We gotta check that, the Allen House. The Allen Mansion, apparently.
Yes. All right, Paige, what do you have for us? Something of the horny variety. I mean, when Paige and I were trying to figure out our adjective, she said, how about horny? And I'm like, okay, that kind of fits mine, like Prentice and Liddell over here being horny.
Yeah, today our adjective works for both stories.
Yes. Usually it just works for one or the other, but we got it both covered.
I know, right? We should try to do that more often if it works out. But yeah. Yeah, mine is also horny, but in another sense.
So okay.
Today I will be covering an urban legend from Wyoming.
Ooh, Wyoming. I have not been there. Have you?
Oh, yes, I have. I've been there quite a few times. I had a cousin and an aunt and uncle who live there, so I've visited them. My brother lived there for quite a while. I believe he still lives there. And I was dating a guy who lived in Wyoming, so we had a long-distance relationship, and I went and visited him in Wyoming, and it was pretty cool. I mean, I like Wyoming.
Do you always wonder about that?
It's nice. It's kind of like Colorado, but maybe more like plains than Colorado, you know, like fields. But I liked it. I think it has a lot of cool history as well. We went to the Mountain Man Festival, I believe it's called. It's a summertime festival in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I went there with my aunt and uncle. It was super fun. Outdoors.
Oh, sounds neat.
Yeah, super cool. Anyway, I digress. None of that has to do with our story today. But what we will be talking about are jackalopes.
Jackalopes? Oh my god!
Heck yeah, jackalopes. Super cute.
They are cute. There's a bar in Austin, Texas called the Jackalope, and they have like this giant jackalope, and you can go sit on it and have your picture taken, and I'm sure I have a picture of me somewhere sitting on a jackalope.
That's awesome. Wait, okay, so is it like a statue of a jackalope?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask because in our story, we're going to talk about two taxidermists who made jackalope mount, like the rabbit head with the antlers as taxidermy.
That's awesome.
And apparently a lot of bars across the country bought up from them. So I was like, oh my god, did you go to a bar where they have a jackalope mount on the wall?
They actually might. I don't remember. I just know there's like a big fake one that you can sit on.
That's super cool. Especially it's called the jackalope.
Yeah, it's called the jackalope, yeah.
How fun! I want to go.
Actually, I think there's actually two in Austin, so there you go. What?
Yep. Oh, it's a chain. Hey, that makes sense.
Paige, guess what?
What?
CrimeCon this year, or next year, is going to be in Austin. We could go to the Jackalope.
Oh my god, we could go to the Jackalope! And CrimeCon!
COVID! End this! We want to go to the Jackalope and CrimeCon!
Yes, please stop spreading!
Everybody stay home. Flatten that curve.
I want to go to CrimeCon.
We got to sit on the jackalope.
Yeah, we got to sit on that jackalope for sure. I mean, you know what? Even if there's no CrimeCon, me and you will just meet up in Austin.
All right. We're just going to do a meetup in Austin. That sounds good. All right. Tell me about the jackalope.
So the jackalopes. Well, as we've seen, we know what the jackalopes are and what they look like. I'm just going to give a very quick description. They are skinny wild hares, not necessarily rabbits. Hares are a little, you know, they're the wild variety, with antlers on their head. And otherwise, they just look like rabbits, basically. So it's a hybrid creature.
They're not real, are they?
Correct. They are not real as far as we know.
Okay. Because I just put it, I'm Google searching jackalope, and I'm seeing a lot of like rabbits in the wild with the horns. And I'm like, is this real? I could have swore this was not real.
No, it's not real. It's not a real cryptid, you know, quote unquote cryptid. Okay. But they have been, it's been a cryptid, whatever you want to call it. It's been in folklore for centuries. It goes back to the 13th century in Persian folk art. They have a rabbit with a single horn like a unicorn. And then in the 17th century, I mean, you know, up until from 13th century to 17th century, it was still kind of a popular myth. And then in the 17th century, they actually included rabbits with horns in a naturalist text as if they were their own species.
That's crazy.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's how much people believed in jackalope. They weren't called jackalopes at that time, by the way.
Okay.
It didn't start being called jackalopes until the Americans got involved.
Of course.
We know how to market things. We give them good names.
I think so.
So, cowboys and frontiersmen have reported sightings of horned hares in the American West since the 1800s, probably before. But interestingly enough, Native American tribes do not necessarily have horned rabbits as part of their culture. Like, they don't have any creatures like that. So, it's something we brought with us, I guess.
That's very interesting because I feel like a lot of times we get it from Native Americans or Native peoples.
Yeah, like if we do have a cryptid, like a Sasquatch or even the giant thunderbirds, it's like the Native Americans had them too. So that makes it almost like, well, what is it then if we've all been seeing them, you know? But this one's a little different. But the reason that I include the jackalope in Wyoming is because in Douglas, Wyoming in 1932, two brothers with a taxidermy shop, they came home one day from a hunting trip. They threw the carcass of their kill, which just happened to be a hare, and it landed near a pair of antlers. And they were like, wouldn't it be funny if we did a taxidermy with the bunny with antlers on it? And they did it. And it started selling like hotcakes. Like everybody wanted one. They thought it was hilarious. And, you know, jackalopes are cool and that kind of thing.
That's so funny. I love that. It probably started as a joke.
Yeah, it started off as kind of a gag, I think. But then once of course it started picking up, then it became a thing and they were like, "Oh yeah, yeah, these are tongue in cheek real jackalopes, you know."
I feel like it's like the singing fish on the plaque. You know what I'm talking
about? Yes. Yes. I forget what it's called, but yeah, you walk by and it goes, "Hey you," or something.
Yeah, or is it singing? Mm-hmm.
The big mouth bass.
Yeah, big mouth bass, yeah.
Yes, it's like that. It's a weird novelty thing. Yeah, total novelty. And apparently it's like all across America after that, it was popular for at least a while to put jackalope heads up on the wall in bars and hotels and stuff. Yeah, so that was in Douglas, Wyoming, where that was quote-unquote invented, or, you know, they were the ones who started that craze. And now, Douglas, Wyoming dubbed themselves the jackalope capital of the world. They have two huge jackalope statues in town that you could take pictures next to. And you can still buy a jackalope head today on Etsy for $10.
That cheap? Really?
Uh-huh. Well, on Etsy right now, I found one. I don't know if it's a real, like, taxidermy jackalope, but there it is.
There it is.
Yep. But there are actual... So you remember earlier you said that you saw pictures online of rabbits with horns?
Mm-hmm.
That really does happen, but it's not supposed to. It's actually a disease.
Oh.
And they think that's why the jackalope myth started off. What it's called is the Shope papilloma virus.
Oh, that sounds nasty, really.
It does sound nasty. And if you look closer at those pictures you were looking at, you'll see it. It does look like horns. They look remarkably like antlers if they happen to be in the right place. The one I saw was like on their chin, so it looked crazy. But yeah, rabbits can actually grow horns because of the virus, and it can happen all over their body.
Okay, so they're not really sprouting antlers. I do see one poor bunny here that has like a whole face full of growths.
Yes, you know, it's actually really sad. Yeah, so it's not real horns. It's okay. Part of, yeah, it's like their skin is hardening.
Poor babies.
I know. So they think that that's where this came from, and that's why it was so rampant and widespread, is that it actually happens. It's just not necessarily in the cool way that we hoped. But that's it. That's what I got for you today. Jackalopes.
The jackalope. That's awesome. I like that it was a prank.
Yeah.
A novelty.
Exactly. And now you can go there and buy all kinds. As you can imagine, you go there, you buy all kinds of jackalope souvenirs in Douglas now.
Well, I feel bad for the bunnies that had to die to be a part of a joke. That seems a little cruel, but...
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it's a roadkill. Let's just say that.
Okay, that's fine. If you're just, you know, using leftover roadkill, go for it. But you're asking to be haunted by the jackalope.
You are. You do not want that, because some of the things I looked up said that the jackalope are warriors and they'll scratch the heck out of you.
I believe it.
I mean, wild hares, I'm sure they know how to defend themselves.
And at the very least, they will bounce up and down on your bed until you can't sleep anymore.
That's annoying as heck. I don't need that.
No.
Yeah, and well, anyway, that's our episode for the day, our urban legends of Arkansas and Wyoming. I didn't say Arkansas. But I
thank
just
you.
Did, so.
It's okay. I think it's only illegal to say it in the state as you're there.
Okay. I'll go there and say it. No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
Watch out, people. Paige is coming.
Paige is coming. Thanks for listening, guys. We love you. Be sure to check us out on Instagram. We're at Near Death Dolls Podcast. You can always tweet us on the Twitter at Near Death Dolls. And if you want us to cover an urban legend from your state, please send us an email. Our email address is at neardeathdolls@gmail.com. Put urban legend in the subject line. We'd love to cover it.
And if you like what you heard, please rate and review us. And really, it so helps us, and it brightens our little dolly hearts when we see a review on Apple Podcasts and those 5 stars. It really just pumps us up.
We love it.
We love it. You guys can also help get our podcast out there by sharing screenshots of whatever episode you're listening to and tagging us. We seriously appreciate it. You guys, you doll faces, with your faces like dolls, we love you. And until next time, bye.
Bye-bye. Ta-ta for now.
EFN. Wonderful thing about tiggers. All right, bye, guys.
Bye.
A special thanks to Sam Hears for our art and music.
If you'd like to see more from him, check out the links in our show notes.